Good afternoon and welcome to VCY America's Homefront program. I'm Jelaine Appling, president of Wisconsin Family Council and host of Homefront, and I'm joined by Micah Pierce, our executive vice president. Wisconsin Family Council is a statewide organization whose mission is to strengthen, preserve, and promote God's plan for marriage and family, the sanctity of human life and religious freedom in our great state. Every Wednesday afternoon, we talk about these issues and the impact they have on you and your family right on your home front. So hello, Micah.
Hello, Jelaine. Between this show and the next, there's going to be a spring primary election, but also between this show and the next, we're going to kick off our new community events for the year titled Your Backyard, Own It.
Well, that's right. We are kicking this off. Tomorrow, we're going to be in Elkhorn, and there is still room for anyone who would like to attend that event. You know, Micah, if we don't take responsibility for where we live, others will, and what they do when they're in those decision-making seats will too often not reflect what we believe and what we value, and it certainly won't be in the best interest of the community overall. So in an election year, it's really important that we understand this. In this event, we're going to talk about really practical things that ordinary citizens can do right now and can do going through this year that will help them own their own backyard, ways they can make a really positive difference right where they live, a difference that's going to last far beyond today.
So our first Your Backyard Own It event will be at the Elkhorn Community Center from 6 to 8 tomorrow, February 10th. 2 weeks after that, on Thursday, February 24th, we'll be in Kenosha. The Kenosha event will be at Birchwood Grill from 6 to 8 p.m. On Thursday, March 3rd, we'll be in Sun Prairie from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Pizza Ranch. So looking a little further into the future, we'll be in Manitowoc on March 31st, Baraboo on April 7th, and Burlington on April 12th. Dinner is provided and there is no cost to attend. However, we will take a free will offering. For more details and to register for this event, call 888-378-7395. That's 888-378-7395 or visit wifamilycouncil.org and click on the Events tab on the top menu bar. From the drop-down menu, select the appropriate event. We hope to see many of you in Elkhorn tomorrow. Before we get into more political topics, we need to mention that this week is National Marriage Week. So marriage has been under organized assault in America and the toll is showing in the culture. A recent Pew Research poll showed that only 34% of Americans feel society is better off if people prioritize marriage and having children. That's barely a third. And the fact that only 56% of evangelicals feel that marriage and procreation should be a priority is revealing. More than that, a Gallup poll released about the same time showed that just 29% of Americans feel that it is, quote, very important that children are raised with their married parents. 29%. Even more shocking than that is that in the same poll, only 45% of weekly churchgoers feel that it is, quote, very important that couples with children marry or remain married.
So here we go, Micah. What we're missing is the understanding that marriage is the backbone of any civilization. It is the first institution given to man for God's glory and for our benefit. You can gauge the strength of any culture based on the strength of its marriages. God designed marriage between a man and a woman to be the nucleus of every society, including churches, communities, states, and nations. As marriage and family go, so goes the rest of those institutions and entities. Marriage is unlike any other relationship, and that's by God's design. It uniquely brings one man and one woman together in a monogamous, lifelong relationship that in most cases has inherent procreative ability. This aspect is incredibly important. It's what sociologists call the conjugal view of marriage, that ability for a man and a woman in a marriage relationship to create new life. That's God's very good plan for bringing new humans into this world and for caring for them, for giving them the very best opportunity to grow and mature into adults who are positive additions to the world. No other human relationship does this naturally. Marriage between two persons of the same sex certainly doesn't have this inherent capability. And marriage between multiple individuals, meaning more than one man and one woman, comes with way more problems than we have time to talk about today. So who is best suited to protect, to champion this institution that benefits everyone in every place at all times? Well, Christians are, of course. Our Bible-believing churches should be the best marriage champions anywhere. We should offer solid premarital counseling, preferably with an inventory, to make sure engaged couples get started right. Churches should have strong marriage mentoring programs, especially for newly married couples, and should offer ongoing marriage enrichment activities and programs for all married couples in their fellowship. Marriage should be celebrated in the church, made much of, both new marriages and the long-lasting ones. Our Christian families should also be great marriage champions. If we want the next generation to want to marry and to want to have children, then the older generation needs to model good and godly marriages. They need to be positive about God's plan for marriage. They need to keep conflict low, focus on building a godly marriage and family with a real emphasis on prayer for that marriage and family. So organizationally, we think there are things we can do to help highlight the good of marriage, and we try to do many things. But one new idea we just launched, and I'm so excited about it, Micah, is a Marriage Hall of Fame. We've patterned this after our good friends at Louisiana Family Forum, who've been doing this for a number of years. I think it's a great way to honor both the institution of marriage and individual marriages. In short, we're looking to honor those couples in Wisconsin who have been married the longest. We'll induct them into the Wisconsin Marriage Hall of Fame, share their story and their best marriage advice. So details about this Marriage Hall of Fame are available on our website at wifamilycouncil.org, wifamilycouncil.org. Applications are due by next Thursday, February 17th. We'll be announcing the inaugural inductees later this month and making a big deal about it. You can nominate a couple you know, or if you qualify, nominate yourself. We start at 60 years of marriage, and I know there are couples out there who have been married that long and longer. We want to know who you are, and we want to give you the honor you deserve for going the distance. We could talk all day about marriage and family and their importance, but we have other things we need to cover today.
Well, let's talk about this. At the top of the show, I mentioned next Tuesday's primary election. So we'll have elections for school boards, mayor, city council, county boards, county executives, village and town boards, and presidents, along with municipal, circuit, and appellate judges. I don't think I really fully realized the importance of who you send to represent you in local government until 2020, when we saw so many local governments around the country and here in Wisconsin almost gleefully become petty tyrants, getting their thrills by taking away individual freedoms and treating us like we were their subjects.
Well, that's an interesting observation. I think 2020 was a real wake-up call for a lot of people. We had startling power trips by many local governments in this state. One that sticks out to me was when, in 2020, the Calumet Sheriff's Department sent two officers over to confront a woman for allowing her daughter to play with the neighbor's kids. Would anybody in 2019 have imagined that a Wisconsin local government would bully parents for letting their children play with other healthy kids? Another tragedy of the last 2 years is the way that so many school boards knuckled under to the teachers' unions and kept children away from in-person learning. We knew at the time this would be devastating for kids, and now we have the statistics to prove it, sadly. Milwaukee was especially guilty. They kept their students at home as late as last month, and in a sea of sinking public school test scores in the state, Milwaukee's have sunk the furthest. Here in Wisconsin, we had Tony Evers playing king and declaring all his subjects must mask up in public. That order was eventually ruled to be illegal by our state Supreme Court, but mask orders are currently in effect in Milwaukee and Dane counties, despite the mounting evidence that mask mandates do literally nothing to stop the spread of coronavirus. Who you have representing you at the local level matters a great deal. Look, we all have a chance to put our values into our local government. The spring primary election is next Tuesday, February 15th, and the spring general election is on April 5th. Last week, we asked everyone at home to learn who is on your ballot and then find 10 friends and family members in your community to share that information with. In these low turnout spring elections, 10 votes, folks, could literally make the difference.
To find out who's on your ballot this spring, visit myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov and click on What's on My Ballot. From there, just type in your address and you should see your sample ballot. It may be like me that you don't actually have a primary election next Tuesday, but you will most definitely have a general election on April 5th. Speaking of elections, let's talk about the people we've already elected to represent us in Madison. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Senate Committee on Government Operations, Legal Review, and Consumer Protection held a hearing on SB 923, otherwise known as the Heartbeat Bill.
Well, you know, Micah, this bill really closely mirrors the Texas Heartbeat bill that made big news last fall when it finally went into effect after beating an onslaught of court challenges. The bill prohibits any abortion from taking place after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Now, think about that. We know that life begins at conception, not at the heartbeat. But this bill asks that a human baby with a human heartbeat be given the same right to life as everyone else. A heartbeat is a definite sign of life. You would think no one could disagree with that, but here we are. There is a very real battle in our country between a culture of life and a culture of death. We're choosing to be on the side of life.
I'm glad you mentioned the difference between a culture of life and a culture of death. You know, yesterday I had the chance to actually speak with the author of the heartbeat bill in the Texas House of Representatives. She told the story of how her parents were told that she would be born with a genetic abnormality and how the doctors pushed her parents to abort her. So what actually happened is that she was born a happy, healthy baby and went on to be a Texas legislator. So for anyone, much less a doctor, to see a human life as disposable, if believed to be inconvenient or otherwise unwanted, that is most certainly a culture of death. But what's been the effect of this bill in Texas so far?
Well, to some degree, it depends on who you ask, Mike. Our friends at Texas Values, who had a lot to do with getting the Texas Heartbeat Bill in place, calculate that the heartbeat law has saved over 25,000 lives in Texas since September 1st. Others put that number between 10,000 and 13,000. No matter, God bless Texas for their efforts to preserve life in their state. We know that in our state, if this bill were to ever make it to the governor's desk, sadly, he would veto it. He's part of the culture of death, Micah.
Yesterday, the same Senate committee that heard the heartbeat bill also had a hearing on Assembly Bill 414, which is a bill prohibiting critical race theory from being pushed on government employees in Wisconsin. So this bill already passed the Assembly, and if passed by the Senate, would make it to the governor's desk. Last Friday, Tony Evers vetoed Assembly Bill 411, which would ban the teaching of critical race theory in public schools. Critical race theory has proven to be divisive in Madison, and from what we saw yesterday, it doesn't look like the ideological gap will be closed anytime soon.
You're right about there being an ideological gap, Micah. Our contention is that God created man in his image and that we all equally bear the image of God. Therefore, there's no room for racism, and everyone deserves to be treated as individuals and rise and fall on their own merit. Unfortunately, many believe things like gender or skin color define us instead of God, and that's why this fight is so divisive.
One last bill to talk about. Tomorrow, the Assembly will have a hearing on a bill referred to as the Parents' Bill of Rights.
Well, this idea of a Parents' Bill of Rights isn't new. A number of states already have such a law. The bill here, Assembly Bill 963, enumerates 15 parental rights related to education, religion, medical care, and mental health, including the right to determine the names and pronouns used for the child while at school. Importantly, this bill states that just because these rights are listed doesn't mean there aren't other inherent rights that parents have. So we'll see how this goes tomorrow in the hearing, Micah.
Your representatives need to hear from you on these issues. You can find your state senator and representative at legis.wisconsin.gov. That's legis.wisconsin.gov. On the homepage, just put your address in the Who Are My Legislators section. Or you can call the state's toll-free legislative hotline at 800-362-9472. That's 800-362-9472. Or you can always call our office at 888-378-7395. We're out of time for today, but if we can help you with any of the issues that we've talked about on Homefront, or if you want to find out how you can support Wisconsin Family Council's efforts to strengthen, preserve, and promote our shared values, please call us at 888-378-7395 or visit us online at wifamilycouncil.org. To help keep you better informed, please like us on Facebook and sign up for our newsletter on our website. Thanks for listening. This is Micah Pierce for Wisconsin Family Council reminding you that the prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."